Okay, how do we sound?
Yup, 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 yup.
All right, open up my notes. Lord knows I'm the only one that got favorite things here. You know Brandy's coming in here with like nothing. She's like, well, I heard about this thing, so I might watch it next week. You guys are just lucky that I'm here, you know? Ain't no show without your boy. The show should be called Wells' Favorite Things, and then Brandy just kind of makes fun of Wells, and that's the new name of the show. I like that. All right, let's call up the Brandy. Ding dong dong.
Hello.
What up? How you doing?
I'm tired.
Why are you tired?
I feel like the time hasn't... Wait, did the time change? I don't fucking know, but you know how it starts to get dark so early?
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's 7 and it's pitch black, and I feel like not too long ago it would be like almost 9 and still light out.
I know. We got to get rid of daylight savings.
We have to. Who do we have to talk to?
I don't know. This needs to be like the number one thing on the docket for the next presidential race. Like, I don't care about term
limits.
You know? I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I care about daylight savings. Like, have someone just run on that, Bernie. Just do that. Maybe you'll win this time. I don't know.
But, like, I don't think they do it in Europe. Like, it's... Right? Like, most places do not do this. Like, we aren't doing it right.
I'm telling you, man, the more that we've been, like, shut in with this pandemic and everything, the more I'm realizing that America is insane.
Yeah, my mom literally just said that this morning.
Like, I think we do, like, almost everything wrong.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I guess I can ask you this. So is the Ingrid interview going in this episode?
I've edited it down so we can put it into this podcast, and then we really only need to do like 20 minutes.
Great, because I haven't watched shit.
No kidding. It's so funny because in the intro to like before I call you, I'm like, let me get my notes out because Lord knows I'm the only one who's going to do the show, and Brandy's just going to make fun of me.
I'm just here to laugh at your bad jokes.
You don't even laugh. No, you don't even laugh at bad jokes. You just make fun of me. Very hurtful. It's a tough relationship I'm in.
Very.
It's like full on getting fall though. Like it's happening here.
Yeah, what's happening?
It's
although it's 85 degrees still here, which is mind blowing to me.
Same.
Okay, you're in California. It's 85 year round.
For sure. Oh, dude. So I have speaking of like the weather being great. Wait, maybe we should start the show because this is a favorite thing.
Oh yeah, let's start real quick.
Okay, you or me?
I think it's you.
Okay, bros and hoes, you're listening to Your Favorite Thing podcast with...
Oh, it's so boring. Wells and Brandy.
Let's go. Before I get into that stuff, very excited for today's episode. We are going to have the very talented, the very funny Ingrid Michaelson on the show. She's got like a lot going on. She's got a new holiday record coming out. She's going to talk about her adaptation of The Notebook to Broadway, which is like, wait, what? I did not...
Sickening.
Yeah. Her love of Christmas movies, which I feel like probably the entire audience has in common with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see if she remembers me. Because I interviewed her 10 years ago on Lightning 100, and I don't know if she's going to remember me.
Oh, wow. I mean, 10 years is a decade, you know?
I know. But how could you forget this face, Brandy? You know? How could you forget this beautiful mug?
We'll just see.
Okay. The reason why I wanted to start, because we were talking about how the weather's always nice here, right? I got a fave thing. Okay, so for Sarah and I's anniversary is coming up. And so here's the thing that I do. I do this a lot. I will randomly be like, this looks cool, and show her something that's like on Instagram. Like, look how fucking cool this is. And then I just totally forget about it. But she doesn't. And then she gives me those things for gifts. And I'm like, what?
As gifts.
What is this? And she's like, you told me that you wanted this. I was like, you should not listen to like anything I say. But even though our anniversary is not now, it's in a couple days, the box came in so I could see what it was. And this is not an ad, but I did tell our producers to hit them up because I'm happy to talk about it. Have you heard of Lettuce Grow?
No.
Okay. So this sounds so dorky, but it's effectively a hydroponic garden. It's like this kind of tower that you fill with water, and it's got like a pump in the bottom, and you plug it in and you like kind of set the timer, and then it's got like all these little holes all the way up the tower. And
I've seen one of these.
Yeah, it pumps water up, and then the water falls down on the root system behind it. So we've got like chives and romaine lettuce and cherry tomatoes, and we've got a whole fucking garden. which is dope. And then also, like, we have it outside because we live in Los Angeles, but you can get ones that go inside that have like a light. You can just grow shit inside. So she got me this, and I'm so invested in the lives of these plants now. I don't do anything. Like, it's literally...
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like there's any work on your part at
none
all.
None whatsoever. So, like, all you got to do, you fill up the bottom with water, and then then that's the water it uses for the entire season, and then you have to put in nutrients, and then you have to check the pH balance to make sure it's not too acidic or too base or whatever. And then that's it. And then you set a timer and then you walk away. And so I just go out there and I'm as if I'm doing something, like as I'm some sort of horticulturalist or something. I don't even know if that's
a
word.
Do you talk to them?
No, but I should go like play music for them. I should play this podcast for them, to be honest with you.
A lot of people say like you're supposed to talk to your plants. I don't know.
Yeah, I believe it, man. Anyway, so I'm like fully invested. I go out every day and I'm like, man, that romaine's looking fucking good. The sage is going crazy, bro. The mixed greens, come on with it. We got strawberries coming. So anyways, so I'm on the app and I'm like, bro, I want peppers. I want jalapenos. I want serrano. I want to make some salsa here. And they're like, oh, sorry, it's out of season. I'm like, we live in Los Angeles. Nothing's ever out of season. So I'm just going to go to Lowe's or Home Depot and just like get those plants and just shove them in the holes and see what happens. I also want to get,
how it works?
They're just little plants in like little pods, you know?
Huh, yeah.
I do want to get a weed plant though. And I don't even smoke weed.
Oh, genius.
But I do want, I just want one. And then I would like my friends come over that, well, everyone smokes weed. I'm like the only one of my friends that don't smoke weed, but they come over. I'd be like, if you want some weed, go clip it off. Clip it off my garden over there. So yeah, get on that, selling that ad because I'm in, man. Totally a gardener now. Green thumb.
You're drinking that Kool-Aid.
I mean, listen, it's just like a fun little, I get to go outside, I get to look at it, you know? Oh, look. I mean, this thing costs, you know, however much money. And it's going to save us $14 over the year in produce, I'm right. sure. It's weird because I thought that Bachelorette was going to air this week. And they took the week off.
Really?
We got two episodes of Dancing with the Stars. Where I'm like, they're all cheating. We talked about the last episode.
So it starts next week? Is that the thing?
Yeah. And now it makes sense because I was really annoyed that they'd cut out the final scene of The Bachelor in Paradise where... We filmed it a bunch, and it was like an important thing we had to get done and done right. And I had this like kind of like long speech I had to give, and so it was this really cool boom shot of all the couples like kissing and like being engaged, and then the boom shot swung around to me in the bar, and I officially like closed the bar. You know, I put a sign up and said the bar's closed. Like, don't worry, we'll be back again. You know, next year, Bachelor Nation, and here's a clip of Michelle's season as the Bachelorette, which is airing next week. And then they moved it. And so then, they might have cut it for other reasons, but they couldn't cut that because it was a one continuous shot. So I was like, oh, why didn't we do a different one where it was like, it's coming up soon, you know? So anyways, now it makes more sense why they cut that out. I have to say, I'm so not excited about this Bachelorette season. I don't know why.
Why?
Just because I don't feel like I know her.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited. I think she seems like so normal and so great.
Maybe that's what it is.
And so genuine.
That's what it is.
She's too normal for you?
She's too normal.
Oh, I love that.
I need Dildo Girl back, dude. Dildo Girl.
No, we do not need her back. That season was a train wreck.
I know, but like...
Are you doing a White Claw on a Monday night?
Dude, I'm clawing it up, baby.
What?
Oh. Yeah, I know, but like I was invested in Dildo Girl because she was Dildo Girl. So for some reason, not like super invested in Michelle because I don't know her.
Oh, well, I'm pumped.
I'm sure I'll be all into it, you know?
Oh, you will for sure.
Got to know who like the new meat is for Paradise this year.
Not yet. That and the rumors I've been seeing flying around all say the new Bachelor is one of her contestants.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that too.
So, gotta find out who that is.
Yeah, which annoys me. Like, why do you guys need to announce that shit? I don't need to know who the next guy is, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, you got any fave things, bro?
I have a least favorite thing.
Cool, give it to me.
And I was, what?
Give it to me, shoot me straight.
I was really hoping it was going to be a fave thing. So I watched the first half of it a couple nights ago when I was in Austin, actually.
Yeah.
And it's a Netflix movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. It's where he's like a 911 operator.
Did you watch it?
No. It's on the docket. It looks a lot like a movie that Halle Berry did like 4 or 5 years ago.
It does look like that. Okay. It's called The Guilty.
Yeah.
One of the, I think it's the producer, is somebody, is the guy from True Detective. And obviously we love Jake Gyllenhaal. So I was just like really, really excited about this. And they sell it as a thriller. It's October. This is when all the scary movies come out. And so I was thinking, and it's rated R. So I was thinking, okay, this is going to be a good, scary, gory, something's going down in this movie. Like, this is going to be kind of scary. I shouldn't watch this at night alone. Like, you know, it's going to be good. And I'm watching it. And I get halfway in. And the only setting, the only place that is in this movie is Jake Gyllenhaal sitting at a desk answering 911 calls. Oh, like, God. It does not go anywhere else. Like, he's talking to people on the phone, but the only shot you see for 45 minutes is Jake Gyllenhaal sitting at a desk with a headset on.
Wow.
It's a lot. It's one thing, like that space movie that Sandra Bullock did with George Clooney. It's like, mm-hmm. like that was kind of like that too. Like they were Gravity. Only in the spaceship, but it's Sandra Bullock and George Clooney and they're in space. It's like, you can do that. So at 45 minutes in, I'm like, I'm not sure. Like something has kept me watching this. I'm not sure what it is. Like this isn't going anywhere. I love you, Jake, but like, I'm a little bored. So turned it off, finished it today. And I was like, all right, something's going to happen. We're going to find out that this chick he's talking to is like a demon or some demons got her and they're going to brutally murder her. Like something's got to happen, right?
Yeah.
Guys, nothing happens.
Nothing?
Nothing. Dude. I know. I was really disappointed.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to watch that now.
I actually didn't even watch the last 10 minutes because I was like, they can't do anything in 10 minutes and I'm mad.
Yeah. So you didn't even, you got all the way to the finish line and then decided not to cross?
I had to come record this podcast, so I'll probably go watch the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, you got to finish.
I got a lot of shit. But like, there's nothing going to happen in 10 minutes. Like no demons are coming out with 10 minutes left, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just like, gosh, dang. Like, why'd Jake sign up for this? I don't know. Money.
Yeah, paycheck.
So I don't know, guys. I don't know if I would waste my time on that one.
All right, good to know. Zero dings.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are excited about it. It's all on a lot of people's watch list, but I don't know, guys.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Bowl and Branch. Yep. They're making the dreamiest bedding for your spring refresh, and it's all, this is the best part, 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. You'll sleep better right away with their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And they're made with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton, and they're yours to try with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. If you don't like it, you can send it back because Bowl and Branch is amazing.
Bowl and Branch is loved by millions of sleepers, and they have over 11,000 reviews. Plus, they're made without toxins, so they're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals that are terrible for you. Plus, they fit the deepest of mattresses. So if you're like me and you have that like pillow top, cloud top, deep mattress, they totally fit, no problem.
Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch during their best sale of the entire season. Get 20% off your order when you use promo code FAVORITE at bowlandbranch.com.
That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code favorite. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I have a favorite thing.
Okay.
I finally finished Ted Lasso season 2. It is so much better of a television show than any other television show that's on TV right now. And it's not even close. It's not even close how much better that show is than everything else on TV. If you're a girl that hasn't, a woman who hasn't seen Ted Lasso, just because it's about soccer doesn't mean it's not for you. Because I would actually venture to say that the sports aspect of the show is the smallest portion of the show. And it's just all about Ted Lasso and how he is just the best dude in the world and why he's such an amazing coach, done such a good job at character development. I cry in every episode. No joke. And I laugh at every episode. Like, the emotional roller coaster that I go on in Ted Lasso is insane. And I don't even know how to explain it. I think it has to do with the fact that I did grow up playing sports up into college and everything. So, like, it's near and dear to my heart. It's just so fucking good. You haven't seen it, have you?
No.
You can watch it or don't, whatever. I know you had a hard time getting the show made. Now, looking back, it's every network is the dumbest in the world that didn't greenlight this thing because it's so incredibly perfect. Ted Lasso is amazing. Gotta watch it.
Yeah, I do. That one and Succession. Like, there are two that I gotta watch.
Did you watch Midnight Mass?
I haven't gotten back on that yet.
What about Squid Games?
I haven't started that either.
Dude, stop doing horse stuff and, like, get it together.
Okay, I was in Austin last weekend for ACL.
I get it.
I played a show. I watched my sister. I was traveling. I have been riding horses. Also, my family's in town.
Oh, God.
And when they're here, they take a lot of my attention. So,
is Miley there?
She is.
Why don't you do the show next week when I'm out of the country with Miley?
I can't even get Miley on Sorry We're Stoned.
I know, but she thinks my name is Adam Wells, so she should do it for us.
Yes, she does. We'll see.
I have another favorite thing.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'm supposed to announce this, but whatever. I'm going to announce it. January 19th to 23rd, ya boy is going to be playing an LPGA event pro-am. So I'm going to be playing with professional women in Florida. It's going to be televised.
Wait. Professional what?
Women. Golf.
You're playing a women's golf tournament?
Yeah. So it's a women's golf tournament where they're playing, you know, for money. And then there's also a celebrity aspect. Those are called pro-ams. And so I'm going to be playing in it.
Huh.
It's going to be televised. And I'm just very excited, Alex.
I don't think anyone cares that you're announcing this if you're not supposed to be.
Well, maybe the LPGA
They're not listening to this podcast, I don't think.
Listen, don't shit on my rainbow, okay?
Where's this little tournament at?
It's in Orlando.
Orlando. I hate Orlando, but cool.
Anyways, my brother's going to come with me. He's my caddy, and there's a $500,000 purse.
What charity are you giving that to?
The Wells Adams needs a new car fund. I'm really excited. And also, like, there are some other people that are going to be playing in it who this audience knows very well.
Ben Higgins.
Yeah. Ben and I are going to be playing in it. So I'm really excited. We get to hang out with Ben for a weekend, get to play golf with some amazing women. Big fan of the LPGA. I know that maybe no one thinks that being serious, but I am. Those fucking girls are good, dude. These girls are going to beat the shit out of me. It's going to be really, really fun to watch. We had a party yesterday, and my friend was like, what are you looking forward to? I'm like, well, I'm going to Africa, which I am really looking forward to. I need to, like, separate, wind down, and just, like, unplug from the world. And then I was like, I'm really excited about this golf tournament. It's something I'm really looking forward to. So, whatever.
Speaking of Africa.
Yeah.
Are you just going to be in Cape Town the whole time, or what's your deal?
Basically, we're doing Franschhoek and Paarl and Stellenbosch, and then we're going up for a game drive.
Is your schedule like booked? Like you have it all planned out?
Yes.
I was gonna say, if you want to go horseback riding in the vineyards and like do the wine tasting via horseback, I've got the place you should go, and it's in Franschhoek. So
will you send it over? Because I'll give that to my brother, one just for his company to do cool shit with, and then Sarah might like that. Do you have anything else, or should we call up Ingrid Michelson?
I think let's call Ingrid.
Yeah.
All
right, let's see if she remembers me. Let's go. Very excited to have on YFT the one and only platinum certified Ingrid Michelson. Ingrid, I don't know if you remember this, and I kind of hope you don't, but I used to be a radio DJ in Nashville at a station called Lightning 100.
Oh, I love Lightning 100.
Yeah.
Have we met?
Yes, I used to do the morning show.
Shut up.
I have interviewed probably, I don't know, 3,000 musicians over my time at Lightning and iHeart and everything. And the question I always get is, who was your favorite interview? And I'm not fucking lying. When they ask, who's your favorite interview? I always say you. And do you know why I always say you?
No.
Aside from the fact that you're an amazing singer and all your music is fantastic and a great performer, I have such a vivid memory of this. And it's probably something that you don't even think about, but I remember you coming in to my studio. You were so nice, and I'm sure you were prepped by like your manager or whatever, being like, this is Wells, you know, like he's the morning show host. You were so nice. You said, hey, Wells, good to see you again. So you had like remembered that we had met the year before. And I said, the thing that I always do is like, okay, so two songs, like what do you want to do? And I remember you said, well, last year I played this song and this song. And the year before that, when I was here with David Hall, I played this song and this song. So I was thinking that this year I'd play this song and this song, you know, to kind of spice it up for the audience. And I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing that someone has like the wherewithal to think this way. And now I get why Ingrid is successful and famous, because she has the foresight to think this way before she goes into a studio. Anyways, that's a story I tell, and I'm so happy to have you on the show.
But yet I can't remember meeting you.
Well, in all fairness, this was
something has happened clearly to my brain between 2008, whenever that was, and now.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I went and looked it up. It was in 2011. So 10 years ago, you're allowed to forget.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. I mean, I did a lot of those radio events, but Lightning 100, I very specifically remember because the studio was like so teeny tiny. Yep. And we'd all sort of be like on it, like my bandmates, we'd all be like right up against each other. But I have very fond memories of that. Of that place and of that station. They were always very kind to me. So thank you. That's a lovely story. I wish I remembered. I mean, I know you now from TV, obviously. So I could have used this as a claim to fame. And now I know.
Yeah. How are you doing? How is life, kind of mid-pandemic for Ingrid Michaelson?
Well, life mid-pandemic is pretty much the same as life all pandemic. I have pretty bad anxiety in terms of like returning to life as normal. So, I'm working on a Broadway musical right now, and Broadway is back. Everyone's going to opening nights, and I was supposed to go to one the other night, and a couple days before I was like, no, I can't do it. I just can't sit in the theater. And so I'm pretty much like, I'm still working, and obviously I'm writing, and I'm lucky enough that my job doesn't require me always to have to move around too much. So I've been okay. Yeah, it's been a time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has.
And I'm also just a hypochondriac. So like, I was like, I have it. Like I just always was convinced that, I was the one Purelling my groceries. Like that was me. And then I realized like, oh, I can say no to things. And, my manager would keep asking me, I'm like, no, can't. Because of this whole thing. And she's like, totally understand it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can say no to things now. And then I was like, maybe I can actually just like relax and figure out sort of like where my center is. Because I was sort of weeble wobbling all over the place with various projects. And then it gets to the point where you're like, okay, but now what am I doing with my life? I'm a loser. I've done nothing. I'm sitting around watching TV all day, which we can talk about because I love TV. I'm just like inches away from going to that Broadway opening. I'm just like, I just need the numbers to be a little bit lower. Knock on all the wood around me. Ingrid Michaelson is gonna emerge pretty soon, but she just hasn't yet. She's still in her cocoon.
I take it that you haven't done a live show yet.
Nope, not since December of 2019.
So wow. We went to a show last night. It was the first indoor show Sarah and I had gone to. The opening band, who we went to go see, started at 8:30. When they finished at like 9:30, we were like, we have to go to bed. We can't wait for the headliner. And so because we've gotten so used to going to bed at like 9:30 at night, that like when this is all over, like I think we all just need to like make an agreement that like things are just going to start earlier for us now, guys, because we're just used to it.
I mean, I 100% agree. I go to bed early. I don't go to sleep early.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's 9:30. I have to lay in bed for 2 hours and get on my phone for like, most of that and watch something on TV in the background. And then I go to sleep around, midnight. I don't like planning things at night. I'm like, yeah. My first show back is going to be my holiday show. I have a holiday show every year in New York City where I live. And I had one last year. It was virtual. This year, we're hoping to have it be not virtual. So far, so good. And I was like, let's start it at 7. The doors are going to be probably 6:30. We'll have like our opening act at 7. I was like, and then sometimes they have a first, then there's a second act, and then you're the third. I was like, let's not even have a second act. Let's just like opening act and then us. And then, and incidentally, we open for ourselves as elderly people singing Christmas parodies. So it's literally just like us singing in tracksuits and wigs, and then a little break, and then us doing the show. I was like, we'll be done by, like 9:15.
In bed by 10.
To get in the car and take off my lashes, it'll be. But yeah, I do think, I wonder what this is doing to humanity. If all of us are just like, it's definitely like I was already a homebody, and now I was just thinking about this the other night. Cause I was like, I can't I hate committing to things at night. My boyfriend's ex-wife, who I'm close with, she was having a birthday party. It was outside at her house, and she lives in Jersey. It's like 2 hours away. And I was like, 2 hours away? And it starts at 5. I was like, which means, you know, I'm going to be there till like at least 8. And then I'm going to have to take it, you know, take the train home. That's another 2 hours. I was like, and then I'm home at 10. It was like the late. I can't be home at 10. I ended up doing that, and it wasn't the end of the world. But I'm all for, you know, ending the night early. But I don't want to start my day any earlier. So basically, I want to still wake up at 10. Give, take, and then go to, you know, be in bed by 10. I want to be in bed for half of my day, sleeping for maybe 8 of those hours. That's the plan for me.
I don't even know where to begin to unpack the statement that your boyfriend's ex-wife is a good friend of yours, and you went 2 hours to go hang out with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, it's what they call a blended family. Yeah. She calls me her wifey, so we're good. What are you going to do?
You're too mature.
You are.
You mentioned that you've got a holiday show coming up. That's a good segue into songs for the season, so tell us about that.
That's right. I'm supposed to plug my record. Okay. In 2018, when we were all so young and naive, I released a record called Songs for the Season, which has a bunch of holiday and Christmas songs on it, all very sort of 1940s, 50s, vintage, Bing Crosby, you know, Nat King Cole, Judy Garland vibes. And I knew I wanted to do a deluxe version because everybody seems to do a Christmas deluxe version like 2 or 3 years after. So why be original and just do what everybody else does? Yes, thank you. So that's what I do. I'm putting out a deluxe that has 5 more songs on it. One of them is a song that I did with Jason Mraz that we released last year, which is an original. And there's 3 classic songs and a new original that I wrote with my friend Dave Barnes and Zoe Deschanel, which I'm very excited about because... Although when I met her, I didn't gush over Elf. Elf is like my favorite. It's definitely my favorite Christmas movie, if not my favorite movie. And so for those of you that don't know, Zooey Deschanel was in Elf. And so that was very exciting for me. So yeah, that's what we have coming out. And I probably should have an actual date to tell you, but I could definitely find that out by using my cell phone and texting my manager right now.
I feel like it's probably sometime during the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I should know. Wait, when is my record coming out? I feel like I should know these things. That's the whole point of this, right? Is that I should know things. I'll find out and I'll report back. It'll be suspenseful. Like now there's like a suspenseful thing that's going on. And when will it be released? Oh no, it'll happen soon. I've always just loved Christmas. I'm like a Christmas freak. Just... ever since I was a kid. And it's funny because my brother and I grew up in the same household and he's like, what's with you? I was like, what's with you? Like, how are you not? I start listening to Christmas music in, you know, September and I've already started watching. I have a system. I watch some Christmas movies in September. I start, but I don't watch like the real juicy ones until like mid to late October. And
that's
then
still pretty early.
October to December, it's just whatever. But right now I'm in like a Krampus. I've watched that a bunch of times. The Family Stone, for whatever reason, that one is like, it puts me to sleep at night. I want to like live inside that family.
We need to talk about that because I love The Family Stone and I made my fiance watch it and I was like, I love this movie. It reminds me of like my family and it's like going home and afterwards she was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? This movie's terrible. The brother hooks up with the fiance of the other brother. Like, this is terrible.
Well, you're spoiling it for everyone now. Or Dermot Mulroney, because I can never remember which one is which. Dermot Mulroney, Dylan McDermott, Dermot Mulroney.
Which I get them mixed up too. I don't know.
They are the same person.
Yeah. Well, whichever one, he does some shady shit. And you know, the end. I always skip the ending because I don't need to know that. Yeah. In my mind, Diane Keaton comes down the stairs and she has, you know, her hair has grown back, and so that's how it ends for me. It's definitely a little sus. I feel like the kids these days might not like understand the charm, but I can't help it. And I will not, you cannot pry that movie from my dead cold hands. I'll be buried with a DVD of it.
If you were in that film, would you be more Dermot Mulroney or would you be more Luke Wilson? Like into?
I see what you're saying. Would I be more like free spirited or would I be more trying to please society?
No, if you
free spirited,
if you are Sarah Jessica Parker, are you going after Dermot Mulroney or are you going after Luke Wilson?
If I'm Sarah Jessica Parker,
you're the star.
Well, I mean, if I was anybody, I'd be Rachel McAdams.
That's what I think. I'm like, all I care about is being Rachel McAdams.
How dare you not be able to make that assumption? But if I was Sarah Jessica Parker, I have to put myself into her shoes. I would probably go for Luke Wilson.
Yeah.
Who would you go for if you were Sarah Jessica Parker?
I would go for Luke Wilson. I like the idea of dating the stoner professor over like the businessman that wants to go to Alaska and see the totem pole.
Ugh, the totem pole. It's so hard. It is so annoying you really do know that movie, don't you?
Brandy, who are you going for?
I flew there for the raising of it.
Yeah.
The town got together and they raised money and got the guy a boat.
Well, I've always actually dreamed of going to Alaska, so.
There you go.
He does leave Sarah Jessica Parker in a matter of like literal minutes. He falls in love. As soon as Claire Danes steps off the bus and face plants, he's like, a-gong.
Yeah. You know?
We could devote a whole podcast episode just to, okay, my record is out November 5th, okay. Everyone. Woo! November
5th. God, that was really loud.
Are you like more of like a traditional holiday person, like Elf and like that movie, or are you like a Lifetime Hallmark holiday person?
Okay. I'm glad you asked this question because I straddle both universes. I am primarily a, you know, Elf, Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Miracle on 34th Street, It's a Wonderful Life, you know, Fred Claus. I could go on. But there are a few Hallmark movies that, for whatever reason, if they have Alicia Witt in them, they worm their way into my heart. And one of the movies that I've been watching in rotation is called A Very Merry Mix-Up. I mean, you can guess what happens from the title. Just such a crazy mix-up. There are a handful of Hallmark movies that are just, I don't know what it is about them.
Yeah, I think the reason why people love them so much is because they know what they're getting themselves into. You know, it's like high-powered businessman from the city goes back to the small town, falls in love with the baker.
You know, one of the five women that are in all those movies, and their fiance is like a businessman, and he doesn't really get Christmas, and she goes, you know, back to her hometown for some reason, and there's, you know, a guy in a plaid shirt and he builds things with his hands for a living. And there's some contest and they have to like build a treehouse together or something. And she falls in love with him. And then the fiance is like, I understand, you know, it's always this amazing breakup. And then there's the driest kiss ever at the very end. You know, the mouths don't open at all. They're just like, just like, there might as well be like construction paper in between their faces. But they are really satisfying and very formulaic, but they know what they're doing. Also, the one thing that does bug me about Hallmark Christmas movies, all of their coats look like they're brand new, never been worn, and they all have like a thin little scarf like wrapped once around their neck, and then it's obviously not cold wherever they're. And all their handbags also look brand new and like there's nothing in them. Like they just rip the tag off and put it on someone's arm. So I do have a bone to pick with the props and costume department. They could rough things up and make them look a little more, but maybe they like that pristine, you know.
I think they do.
Fresh off the Burlington coat rack.
Oh, yeah.
I do like them. I do.
Let's talk about other favorite things of yours before we let you go. Are you watching? Are you binging anything?
I'm watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh.
And you got Dean and Palin coming back, right? To the scene of the crime.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a funny relationship with that show in that I first started watching The Bachelor years ago. I would find myself standing in front of the TV screaming at it, like in full rage. And so I stopped watching it because I was like, I can't stand all these women pining over this guy. Then The Bachelorette came out and I was like, wait. And I watched Ashley and JP's season. got very, very invested in them somehow. And then I just fell off. Maybe I was touring. I don't know. And I never watched, didn't watch anything. And then pandemic happened and my best friend was with me in LA and she got stuck with me there for literally, like, I think she was just stayed with me for like 3 months. And we're like, you know, everyone keeps talking about Bachelor in Paradise. And like, I didn't know that it was like old bachelorettes and old, you know, previous season bachelorettes and bachelors coming. But we were like, we'll just watch it. We'll watch the most recent season and we'll, you know, we'll see what it's about. Having no clue who any of these people are. So we watched the most recent one, bought it. We had to buy it because it wasn't streaming on anything or that I had. So we watched it and then we were like, this is intriguing. Maybe let's watch like season three. We randomly were like, okay, now we're going to watch. So then we watched season three and then we're like, fuck, we got to watch the whole thing. So then we watched 1, 2, 4, and then they've had all assembled in our brains. And I was, since then, I've now watched The Bachelor and The Bachelorette seasons, completely sucked me in. I am in it upside down. I am through it. Yeah. It's pretty intense. I started watching, UK Love Island. Yeah, I don't know any of these things. This is like all new to me.
I haven't seen Love Island actually.
There's so many episodes. There's like 45 episodes or something. It's insanity. Gosh. And you get to know these characters so well. Characters. They're humans.
No, they're not.
You get to know them so well that you're just so invested. It's pretty wild. But I definitely have turned to those shows in recent times. There's something comforting. It's kind of like along the lines of like the Hallmark movie and there's just something that's just very comforting about it all. So I think that can go along my favorite things. Christmas and Bachelor in Paradise. There you go. What more do you need to know? And I have a record coming out November 5th. There we go.
Wait, do you have a favorite couple for this season of Paradise?
Everybody probably says the same thing. Joe and Serena. Yeah. I think they're my favorite couple just because they seem the most genuinely interested in each other.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be a lot of people just trying to get famous on this season. A lot of shady stuff was happening. Oh, and Wells, you just had to take somebody out to the beach and have a little chat with Ivan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch too many of these shows. So like everybody's name, it just becomes like one big name. Yeah. That was like, you know, hello. And then the hurricane. Oh, Lord. What can we, we can only take so much.
What are some other things that are your favorites right now? I want to know, are you reading any books or bands that you're into?
I just started a book called The Plot, which is by Jean, I forget her last name. And I literally just met her because she was at my boyfriend's ex-wife's birthday party.
Jean Corlitz.
She wrote the book that The Undoing was based on.
Oh, cool.
So I just started reading that and it's somewhat suspenseful so far and I'm excited about that. Music. I'm having trouble with music lately. I feel like an old woman, but I'm just having difficulty latching on to music in a way. Like I find myself listening to, you know, older things that I've listened to years ago and a lot of it sounds the same. I'm like, oh, how many times can I hear this? And now there's this weird way of singing where people say like, there's like a weird accent that's purveying across the pop world. Like you wouldn't say you're the one, you'd say you're the wine. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, listen, there's like a diphthong, like the resign, like it's a resign.
So just whiny extra syllables.
Whiny, but it's adding an extra syllable.
Yeah,
and like some people call it cursive singing, like on TikTok. There's like a trend of like cursive singing. Yeah, look up cursive singing on TikTok. And there's a kid who sings like that. I'm singing in cursive.
Yeah,
Gabby, sing "Happy Birthday" in cursive.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
It's like this specific way of singing that now everybody seems to be singing like it. And I'm just like, I don't understand. I'm old. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
But Brandy, this is what I've been talking about. All like the guy sad bastard music that you like, Brandy, I'm always like, it sounds like they've got marbles in their mouths. And now I understand what she's talking about. It's the cursive thing.
And it doesn't take away from like, if I really like a song, I can power through that weird accent thing. But then it's like, they're like, oh, well, no, do, do. Like they'll sing something and then they'll be like, so what do you think of that song? And I'm like, wait, but that's how, I'm so confused. What just happened between the way you sang? And I'm not saying like, I listened to some of my older music and I definitely had like a way of singing with my voice and I did a thing that I thought was cool. And I think that's just what it is. I think like, there's like a wave of, and there always are, there are waves of singing. If you listen to all these singers from the 1950s, this is how they sang. If you listen to all the folk music, all the Joni Mitchell wannabes, they all had that sort of like same thing. So I think we're just in this wave of this bizarre sort of British accent, crunchy voice. I don't know how more people aren't like, what is happening? But I feel like I'm the only one. But maybe marbles in the mouth is kind of good too. Yeah. I'm literally making Christmas music that sounds like it was made in the 1940s. So that tells you where my where my brain is. I'm in another decade, far, far away. And I'm writing a musical, which is not pop music at all. So I'm writing The Notebook for Broadway.
Really?
Let's try to talk about that for a
second. That's cool.
Yeah. We're doing a Broadway adaptation of The Notebook. I mean, we're going to be in Chicago at our out-of-town try in the spring and hopefully moving to New York. There's no definite date and there's only 41 Broadway theaters, so it's sort of a log jam right now, but we're hoping to be in the next season. But it's very, very exciting, and it's kind of amazing to write music and have other people singing it and interpreting it. Very satisfying, and it's also lovely to not be the one who has to be in the limelight and be the one carrying everything. And, you know, that weighs on you after a while. And I'm not even hugely famous, so I can't imagine, you know, what very famous people, very famous musicians and must feel like. There's something that's just so lovely about being behind the table, you know, mm-hmm. but still being creative and seeing other humans taking time to learn the things that you've written and to interpret them. It's mind-blowing how incredible it is. It's just my favorite thing I've ever done is writing this musical. I'm so, 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 so excited for it. It's going to be pretty amazing.
Have you cast this thing yet?
Yeah. We have our cast for Chicago. The thing is with actors, you know, they might get a TV show and, you know, you can't be like, well, don't do that thing that pays you a lot of money because I need you for 6 weeks in Chicago, you know.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed that none of them get a job. Because I love them all so much. They're all so, so, so talented. You know, but if that happens, it happens. My boyfriend's an actor and he's does Broadway and does TV. So it's sort of like, it's always a dance. Once we go to New York, then hopefully you bring the same people along with you, whoever is available, you figure it out. But yeah, we do have our cast as of now. It hasn't been announced yet, but it's pretty amazing. It's not like the movie. We are not doing the stage version of the movie at all. We're definitely taking a lot of chances and a lot of liberties and really pushing some boundaries. The story is the same.
Is Nicholas Sparks involved with it at all?
He's given us permission to change certain things. Like he's like, yes, basically he's like, do whatever it is that you want to do.
That's awesome.
I'm down. I'm excited. Yeah. But he's been very hands off, which I think is really smart because mm-hmm. I've been to musicals where they literally replicate the movie. If I want to watch the movie, I'm going to watch the movie. I don't want, you know, I want to see an interpretation. I want to see something that's been sort of pulled apart and explored in different ways. I want the story to be there. I want the story mm-hmm. to be the same. I want the characters' names to be the same. I want that. I want those, you know, that foundation. But it's a musical. Like, we're allowed to, we're singing. Like, things are going to change. Like, it's a magical universe that we're creating here. Once you have somebody singing on stage, it can be really hideous and cheesy, or it can be really mind-blowingly beautiful and bizarre and transcendent. And that's hopefully where we're leaning into. It's been since 2017, we've been working on it. It's been a long, long time. And we were way late, obviously, because of COVID, like everybody on Broadway. It's been exciting. and long and fun. And I'm not extremely excited about being in Chicago in February because I hear it can get a little cold. We're just going to have to be layered up, and then we'll be in the theater most of the time. So
you've gotten to work with a bunch of like super talented people. You mentioned Zoe earlier, Dave Barnes, who's like one of the funniest guys in the world. I know you did something with Zane.
Oh, you know Dave from Lightning 100 Days, or have you interviewed him for this?
No, from our Lightning Days, and he was in like 10 out of 10. And like, he's more of a stand up, really, I feel like, than a musician when I'd go to his shows.
Yeah, when we write together, we have a very similar sense of humor, and we just spend like half the time laughing, crying. And this is like over Zoom. It's just a funny, we have so much fun together when we write. But yeah, he's hysterical.
You've gotten to work with a lot of different people. I feel like you did something with Zane recently. Do you have a favorite person you've gotten to work with?
That's putting me on a spot. Let's see. Favorite artist? Well, I got to work with Sarah Bareilles very early on. And we wrote a song together called Winter Song when we first like became friends. And she's just kind of like one of the nicest, most talented people. I'll say her.
I like that.
She's great.
That's a good answer.
Before we let you go, where can everyone follow you? And one more time, when that Songs for the Season Deluxe comes out.
Songs for the Season Deluxe comes out. And just so you know, it's featuring Zoe Deschanel, Jason Mraz, Leslie Odom Jr., Christina Perry, my boyfriend Will Chase, who you might know from the show Nashville. He was Luke Wheeler. Oh, and Grace VanderWaal. I've got great people on that record. So that's coming out November 5th. And then following me, just Ingrid Michaelson. I really only do Instagram. I mean, I do TikTok, but I don't really do TikTok. So don't follow me there, or follow me there. Do whatever you want. I don't care. I do care. Follow me. I part my hair in the middle now and I wear baggy jeans. Love me.
And go see The Notebook in Chicago in November. No, February?
So we're starting, we have our rehearsals in February, but we're going to be opening in the beginning of April.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Ingrid, thank you so much for being on the show. You're still my favorite interview, even though you forgot me 11 years later. It's okay.
I'm sorry. Okay, so this is the problem, is that I know you because I've seen your face on television, so I've seen you in a certain specific way, but now I'm kind of remembering you. You were young.
Yeah, well, it was like 11 years ago.
The young one there, because there were older guys there.
Yeah.
And you were like the young guy.
Yep.
And I'm remembering now very, very vaguely, and I'm going to go watch YouTube clips and refresh my old memory. But thank you. You're very sweet for saying that. And it's lovely to meet you guys. Meet you again, and lovely to meet you for the first time.
Thanks,
Andy,
for coming on.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, fun.
Appreciate it. And, you know, enjoy the rest of the pandemic.
Yeah, you too. Have a great time. Life's great. Thank you, guys.
All right, see
you later.
Okay, bye.
She's the best.
Funny.
Really funny. Like, the more that she was talking about, like, singing in cursive, that now I can't unhear it from everything I'm listening to. And I'm like, God, everyone's doing this.
I love it anyway.
I do too. But, like, we were watching SNL the other night, Halsey. And I was like, Halsey does this.
Well, yeah. Speaking of SNL, did you watch Kim host?
Yeah, that's the one we watched. Did you like it or not?
I haven't watched it yet. I keep seeing the picture of her with Tyler Cameron. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, why wasn't I invited there, you know?
Because you don't live in New York.
I guess that's true. They had Chris Rock up there. Chris Rock is a former cast member of SNL. Yeah. I'm sitting there being like, this is the best idea we had for you with Chris Rock? I don't know, bring back an old bit that he used to do? It's good. Kim Kardashian's a terrible actress. The writing they did for her was very, very good.
That's what I heard. I heard that whoever wrote her monologue killed it.
Yeah. And
I gotta watch it.
It's a lot of OJ Simpson jokes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I love Ingrid Michaelson. She's very funny. She's like one of those people that I feel like I would be friends with if not for she doesn't live in Los Angeles, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For sure. Yeah, I could see that.
Speaking of musicians, did you see the video of Smash Mouth performing at a beer festival? TikTok, on our YFT page, we'll repost it. It is the funniest thing in the world. Smash Mouth, you know, like
Oh, yeah. Come on.
You know, Smash Mouth. The lead singer's just fucking trashed, telling the audience that he's going to murder their family. There's one point where he's just, like, sitting there with the beer, like, leaning up against, like, the pole of the stage, and the beer falls, and he's, like, not, like, able to stand. At some point, just brings a girl up, gives her the mic, and she just starts saying, like, it's my birthday! He tells the crowd to shut the fuck up. He's the lead singer. Forgets the lyrics to his one-hit song.
Hey, no. Now.
The lyrics. Oh, God, man. It's so funny. Anyways, we'll post this on the YFT Instagram. It's just the funniest thing. At one point, it looks like he does the Heil Hitler thing. He might be waving, but it doesn't look good. Hey, now, you're a racist. Hey, now, white supremacist. Get the show on. Get paid for playing a beer festival. I guess he's retired now. So I guess if you do the Heil Hitler, you gotta retire. Those are the rules. Hey, now you were in Shrek. Now you're unemployed. Because I was gonna play it for you, but you can't hear him very well. They did like the TikTok thing or the Instagram thing where they've got the subtitles. It's much funnier. It's like, fuck you! I'm gonna fucking murder you. Inaudible. Drunk drops fucking beer. Hey, now you're an all-star. You sing it. It's great. Good times. Do you have some fave music, bro?
I listened to My Release Radar and New Music Friday this week, and I couldn't even listen because, like, it's just not great.
No?
I mean, the one song I liked was someone that doesn't need our promotion.
Justin Bieber
put out a song with somebody named Troy Boy.
Oh, okay.
Who I've never heard of.
Yeah.
But it's actually a really cool song.
All right. Well, not going to play that because you're right. You don't have to. There was some stuff I really liked.
What do you got?
I like this Houndmouth track, Make It to Midnight. I just really like Houndmouth a lot. And now we got it right. You and me, babe, are on the red, red skies. We gotta make it to midnight. Some get high, some grow tired, and some go. Your old family ties, kept your mother's menthol eyes. The summer dove was underloved, and she's naked by desire. Big Houndmouth guy over here. They're great. That's called Make It to Midnight. I also really like this Manchester Orchestra Dirty Projectors collab. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but it's called Telepath, and I thought it was really rad. In your mind, this is a new and glorious morning. You ain't never gonna let nobody take that light again. Everyone I know is slowly falling in the ocean. I don't wanna be next to row. I never learned to swim. Baby, do you love me? Baby, do you love me? Baby, do you love me? No, no, no. That's Manchester Orchestra and Dirty Projectors called Telepath. And so I don't know if that's a Dirty Projectors tune, but it's real good. This is my last one for you. Say what you want about TikTok. It is introducing me to a lot of music that I would just never hear about or never find out about. And
oh, that's cool.
And I ran across this band called Dury, and I absolutely was like, this song's amazing. Called Who's Laughing Now? It's so good. My mama always said I would regret it if I ever got a tattoo. She said I'd never get a job like I ever wanted one with that attitude. My dad said I had to learn to drive a stack shift, but every van I ever had was a Isn't that so good?
Yeah.
What artists are doing now is they're obviously like making their music and they're making like fun TikTok videos that go with it. Their own music video. That's exactly what it is. They're making a music video for TikTok. Anyways, fuck, this is amazing. So they went right to their page, started following them on, you know, on TikTok, following them on Spotify. And there you go. That's how you break out, I guess, now.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's how Lil Nas X was Snapchat.
Yep.
And then
Snapchat's dead now.
Snapchat is dead. And then he found Billy Ray Cyrus, and then fucking, hey, man, that kid made some
money. And here
money.
We are.
No, that's all I got. Yeah, so I'm sad because I'm not going to be on the show next week because I'm going to Africa.
Yeah, well, that's way cooler that you're going to Africa.
I know. I'm going to come back with so many good stories, too.
I know. I can't wait for that. I miss it there. I do.
I know.
I used to go all the time. I loved it.
This is my second time going, and it is a very magical place. And for those that are going to get mad about like us like traveling outside the country and all that stuff, they're actually at a level one. I think they're doing better than our country is, which is not surprising. And we're going to be with like everyone that's like going to be like super safe. And I'm just so excited because it's a very magical place in the world.
Yeah, it's funny. Leslie Murphy's there right now.
Yeah, I know. She's with my brother's travel company.
Yeah, and Leslie was the very first time I went to South Africa was with Leslie.
Really?
I went with Miley, but I ended up meeting up with Leslie the first time I was there. And so I think this is the first time she's been back since. And she and Alex are in Camps Bay shooting drone footage. Like, it just looks beautiful. So I have serious FOMO.
So my brother, like a side hustle of his, is doing and planning all these trips to South Africa. Ever since I was a little kid, we've been going over to South Africa. We've got a lot of good friends over there. And so he's like set up her trip out there and he's like, yeah, she's been doing yoga in front of elephants. Like, that's what she wants to do. I'm like, yeah, okay. We know whatever you want to do, I guess. But
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. But anyways, I will be documenting this whole thing and I'll be tagging like my brother's, not that he's paying me to say this, but like I'll be tagging his company. And if you do ever want to go to South Africa, he's a good contact for you. Or you can just hit up Brandy. I'm not sure if she'll respond to DMs though.
I respond to some DMs. Come on. Since Wells will be gone next week,
yeah,
I've got one of my BFFs, the one, the only Olivia Caridi, going to step in and co-host with me. Not sure how that's going to go without Wells, but we're going to give it our best shot.
I believe in you guys.
I don't, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, nothing else. I'll be back in 2 weeks, but thank you for giving me the week off, and I miss you.
The upside here is that Olivia and I won't talk about shitting like Derek and Wells do.
Have you met Olivia?
The whole episode. We'll just talk about how men are trash. That's the hot topic these days.
All right,
everybody. So
I like that.
Yeah,
men are trash.
Men are garbage.
With Brandy and Olivia, that should just be its own podcast. Men are trash.
Honestly, it really should. You're right.
Yeah, it's good. All right, we're out of here. Love you guys. Love you, Brandi.
Love ya. Bye, guys.
See you later.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.